Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. I'd like to start out reading a little bit to you from Contact Report 544, which is about 20 pages when printed out, and I printed it out here. And this Contact Report talks about a lot of things. I wanted to mention the seven major forces of nature, of which only four are known to Earth scientists. This is an interesting discussion between Billy and Patah. And if you're new to the show, you just hang in there. Billy Meyer is a 80-year-old man in Switzerland. He claims to have had contacts with extraterrestrial humans since he was about 5 years old. He's written 2,000 or so of these contact reports. This is number 544. And Billy says to Patah, who's one of these extraterrestrials, he says, "When I was in the fourth grade of primary school and my teacher was Hans Frey, it was in 1948, your father, Svath, explained to me that altogether there are seven major powers, conventionally called forces of nature in the universe. And on the other hand, the gravity, then the electromagnetism, as well as the strong and the weak nuclear power and further." And then Patah interrupted Billy and says, "Stop. You are not permitted to openly name the other three. As indeed my father already told you, these three other powers of nature are not yet known by terrestrial physicists, and they are still not allowed to discover them because premature knowledge would have severe consequences." Very interesting. He says they are not allowed to discover them. And I think I remember in earlier contacts where they've actually interrupted and prevented us from learning certain things for our own good so we wouldn't wipe ourselves out or wipe out other living beings. And Billy continues, "All right, excuse me. It remains withheld. It is certainly not in my interest to betray the confided secrets, as I really only wanted to tell you about the fact that there are not only the four natural powers known to terrestrial science, rather also the remaining three are still unknown to them, which exist as certain tiny and ultra-tiny particles as related to the gravity, the electromagnetism, and the strong and the weak nuclear force. Also, the dark energy and dark matter are included in the realm of particles, whereby certain of these particles, which are indeed also energies with powers, are to be discovered in the foreseeable future. As you have said recently, although it will still take a while, the success is to be understood indeed according to your explanation as a prediction." So here they're predicting that we're going to discover these powers soon enough. That means it's going to happen, as opposed to a prophecy which could happen. Additionally, I may say certainly these, let us say the normal or simple elemental particles in turn, contain in sevenfold wise still tinier particles, which, as I learned from Svath, can be designated as a kind of ultra-tiny, ultra-elemental particle, so to speak. Even when I note with this statement that a fundamental sevenfold chain of natural powers exists, and that other powers exist among the known and the elemental particles, and that only begins among the seven series, whereby originally everything evolved from pure spirit energy. And this is one of the points I wanted to get to, that everything that you see evolves from pure spirit energy. Let me continue here. I thereby betray no secret, because all of that corresponds to the spiritual teaching, in which I indeed also mention these things openly. So everything evolves from spiritual energy. One of the teachings of Emmanuel said, the body and the spirit are one. And the body comes from the spirit. They are not a duality. They are just, the spirit is pure energy, I guess you could say, and the body is matter, coarse matter. But everything comes from the spirit energy. Everything evolved from the pure spirit energy. And in the summertime, when you go outside and you're, if you have any wooded areas next to where you live, it's a good thing to go there. And where I live, you can see these plants, and they shoot up. And by the first or second month of summer, you got plants that weren't there in the spring that are now 2 months later, 6 and 7 feet tall. So all that came from the spirit realm. These, because even the plant has a spirit form, because everything evolves from pure spirit energy. Contact Report 544 goes on and on. It's absolutely amazing. I need to reread it. I've been spending a lot of time for weeks now in the book called The Way to Live, and maybe I'll read a little bit from that in today's show as well. I've gone through it the second time, and it's almost like I'm reading a new book. I want to read a little something from, it's called the Arahat Atharasata Overpopulation Excerpt. Arahat Atharasata is a spiritual plane. There are 7 evolutionary steps that human beings go through, and there are human beings all over the universe in various solar systems. Our solar system is no different. We have only one planet with human beings on it. But at one time there were human beings on Mars. At one time there was a planet called Melona that also had human beings on it. And there are 7 evolutionary steps that human civilizations go through. We're stuck, I say we're stuck, in stage 2, which is rational life. The first stage is primitive life. The second stage is rational life. The third stage is intelligent life. The fourth stage is real life. The fifth stage you could call life and creational wisdom. The sixth stage, we're half physical, half spiritual. And the seventh stage, we completely evolve out of the need for a physical body. And then we end up in this spiritual realm. And we can be in this spiritual realm for 2.9 billion years, the Meyer material says, until our spirit form or whatever form that we're in at that stage, we evolve eventually back to the creation. So Arahat Atharasata is a spiritual plane. Sloth, who was Billy's first contact, taught young Edward Albert Meyer how to pull information down in a telepathic way from Arahat Atharasata. So this is a long introduction to this, what I'm going to read to you now. It says, in the middle of all earthly events, the human stands with the globally highest developed spirit form. He has all the things of this world to place into order and to value them according to the all-encompassing unitary law of creational order, recognizable in all earthly laws of nature. As an individual, the human has various tasks to which he is obliged. At first, he is obliged, responsible, to the task of preserving his life for the duration of his developmentally given time. As a second, he has to pay heed to the fulfillment of the duty to further develop himself spiritually and consciously in the best way possible, and to acknowledge the spiritual evolution as an important truth. That's probably our primary goal, is to evolve our consciousness. As a community creature, he is obliged, responsible for the task of preserving his species, and to instruct and educate his offspring in the meaning of the spiritual teachings. And we'll talk more about what the spiritual teachings are in the show a little bit later, if you're new to the show, so you have some frame of reference. But further, the task is imposed on him to align and integrate himself into a naturally ordered community, which does likewise guarantee an evolution in every relation, as nature visibly and livingly exemplifies. The preservation of the human species is not based on a formula of simple propagation. As such, the erroneous teachings of the earthly religions proclaim. The preservation of the species is based on the compliance with the natural laws. As such, the compliance is in holiness, therefore monitoring and controlling. Creational natural laws we'll talk about too a little later. But the formula of the simple progression is unholy, therefore without monitoring and uncontrolling, because it generates propagation in a senseless multitude and contrary to all natural laws. So what this is saying here is that we've populated the planet beyond what the creational natural laws allow. And that's why, for example, I had Frosty Wooldridge on the show, oh gosh, a couple of weeks ago, and he told me that they have 50 lanes of traffic going one direction in Beijing, China. And I honestly didn't believe it. I told him I didn't believe it. That's impossible. There's no way. Well, he was absolutely right. In Beijing, China, the city with about 13 million people, which is the complete population of the state I live in, Ohio, they have this city, Beijing, where there's 50 lanes of traffic going one direction. So when they have traffic jams, and I've talked about this before, they last weeks sometimes, the government has to send in helicopters with food and water so people don't die. Unbelievable. The population problem is gone so far in particular areas that it's just beyond imagination. In Beijing, the air is so bad, the air pollution literally blocks out the sun. You can't see the sun on a summer day. You can't see the sun. I had another guest tell me that. So we've gone so far to the wrong side of things that even Alex Jones now is talking about the dangers of overpopulation. And that's just simple facts, like Bangladesh, 146 million people in Bangladesh. That's a country the size of Iowa. And what really particularly bothers me about overpopulation is the destruction of our forests, because the forests are really where all life comes from on our planet. And the forests play such an important role in moderating our weather. And maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more later on in the show. Let me continue here. That the human of Earth renders the compliance of simple propagation and disregards all creational natural laws is recognizable for every human who moves himself even slightly on consciousness-related developmental pathways. Boundless and without stopping, The human augments itself and procreates offspring, uncontrollable, in an uncontrollable, unholy form. While your earth is able to carry and nourish 500 million human life forms, the earth human begot 7.5 billion as of 2004. Now we're close to 9 billion. And impelled in only a few centuries a such evil overpopulation that millions will have to die an abnormal death. Through irrationality and religious erroneous teachings of the earth human, the mass of the humanity was driven into boundlessness through which the problems that were restricted to a few humans and containable have spread unto a nameless mass and have become uncontrollable. And so with the reckoning and disregard of the law of preservation of species, in only a few centuries, the humanity was driven into a mass overpopulation and inevitably rose all the problems and hardships and degenerations associated with it. When the earth human lives in the right sense, in the fulfillment of his task, he then lives in ironclad orders given by creation. As he disregards this order and steps out of it, then he has to taste and bear the consequences. But the human of the earth has stepped on this order with his feet and grossly disregarded, and now has to bear the consequences of this. As one of the most important duties of the material life domain of the earthly human, it is to heed that the overpopulation is contained in the strongest measure, and that the number of human beings finds its state in the normal 500 million norm. The reality grants only this number of earthly human life forms, so this value must be set back again. Pursuing this path is not simple and not easy, because understanding and reason must prevail in order to recognize the goal of fulfillment. Now, this continues here and tells us what we need to do to get our population back under control. And one thing it says, I'll just read a few of these quickly, that no family begets more than 3 descendants in a 10-year period, that no male human life form under 30 years old shall have children, beget descendants. And likewise, no one over 40 years is allowed to have children. So there should be a birth stoppage for 7 years in the areas that are particularly overpopulated. Anyway, this is rather long as well. We'll get back to this, hopefully, in not too long of a time. Oh, this is not that long. It's only about 4 or 5 pages. But in any sense, this is just a little bit from the Meyer material. If you've listened to these shows before, then we've talked about these concepts a little bit. But there's nothing quite like the Meyer information. You can get lost in just one of his books. And I was talking about this book called The Way to Live. And I wanted to bring out a few little points in this book that you might find interesting. And this is on page 328. And I've highlighted almost this entire page. It's just incredible stuff. But it says, and this is about what is called a moment of gladness, and we all have these moments of gladness in life. And one may simply contemplate a moment of gladness, which perhaps simply arises because one sees the snowflakes floating down, or a sunbeam which mysteriously fingers through the forest. But it can also be a flower on the edge of a path, or a bird in its twittering, which please the consciousness. These are the moments of peace, of the love, of the happiness, and of the equalized and harmony, as well as of reflection and insight. These are the moments which work deep into the inner part of the consciousness and makes one's feelings tingle and please the psyche. And these moments and their distinguishing characteristics must be retained so that they constantly remain in one's memory. So, you know, the Meyer material stresses very much controlling our thinking. And what Billy's talking about here is what is the moment of gladness. We all have little moments of gladness in our life, and we should remember these and hold on to these and ponder these. And also visualize, and this is very visual, what I've just read to you here. Augenblick is the German word for moments. The German word, there's also a German word called moment, which means moment. Unrelated to what we're really talking about is the word Gestalt. I think it's a very interesting term, meaning form. We're kind of talking about thought forms, so I don't know how that word popped in, but a moment, again, is defined as a very brief period of time. Contact Report 10, line 21 says, joy comes forth from the human's inner part, created by spiritual and consciousness-based poise. And the inner part here, I think, is referring to our consciousness. And Billy has a beautiful article called How It All Began, which talks about his early life growing up in Bulac, Switzerland. And it says, through this, I also learned to separate the wheat from the chaff and to look for the truth, where it basically is to be found, namely, in one's own inner and innermost, as well in one's own intellect, in one's own reason, in one's own thoughts, contemplation, and feelings. So, as a part of independent thinking, we have to relearn the ability to discern the truth for ourselves in our innermost self, through our own thoughts, through our own contemplation. We don't do that anymore. We're dependent thinkers. We depend on the media. We depend on certain esteemed individuals to do our thinking for us. And we shouldn't do that. We should relearn the skill of independent thinking and learn the ability to determine the inner truth for yourself. Because most people will take the Meyer material and say, oh, that's just a giant hoax. Anyone can see through that. If you have your own inner discernment and you've listened to this show at all, I'm sure you've gotten enough information. If you still have a healthy consciousness, you know that there's something real here, something extremely real. And what it's talking about here is, let me read a little more and then I'll talk about it a little bit. But the mass of the modern human beings produce no frame or context in which the experiencing of the true nature of the consciousness can be understood. Quite contrary, everything is done so that the consciousness state of equalizedness is suppressed and blocked, so that it cannot contain any impulsations in the thinking, in the feeling, and emotions, and in the psyche, which would give cause for joy and feelings of happiness. So what is this talking about? This goes back to a creational natural law called the law of harmony. The law of harmony says our thinking should not be positive, not real positive, and certainly not negative at all, but just neutral, slightly positive. If our thinking remains slightly positive in an equalized state, then you will get impulses from your spiritual consciousness that, if you follow, will give you joy and feelings of happiness. But what's happening on the earth is we are suppressing these impulses, which would ultimately lead to our feelings of joy and happiness. So the state of equalizedness of the consciousness is suppressed and blocked. So we are essentially blocking our own feelings of happiness. To suppress means to prevent the development, the action, or the expression of a feeling or an idea. An impulse is said to be the influence of a particular feeling, a mental state. An impulse, for example, applied to an object, produces a vector change in its linear momentum in that direction. Let me give a simple example. A large force applied to a golf ball and a golf swing. You're giving that golf ball an impulse. Well, your spirit form, we all have a spirit form, a tiny fragment of the universal consciousness. It's the real you. It never dies. Is impulsing our material consciousness. But we, through our lack of equalizedness, neutral positiveness, often suppress and block the impulses which would lead to our happiness. Let me continue. And this is again from the book called The Way to Live by Edward Albert Meyer on page 328. It says, also from the outside, out of one's environment, and by the fellow human beings, all sorts of things are done, whereby the true nature of the consciousness is suppressed. Attacks occur, subliminally or quite openly, which have the zeal of one quickly forgetting everything which could raise the joy and the feeling of happiness, or which could bring the consciousness into a state of harmonious equalizedness. So we're getting attacks from the outside, which are also disturbing our equalizedness, our sense of harmony and balance. We should learn, for example, meditation. I don't claim to be the best meditator. I do pretty good sometimes. Today I was forced to meditate. I just ran out of gas completely. Poof. Exhausted. Took the day off. I guess I knew I needed some time off. But, of course, I created a big schedule with lots of things to do, which I'm sure a lot of us do this, and ran and ran until I hit a brick wall of exhaustion. And I know when that happens, I've got to meditate. So we spent probably an hour and a half through different periods in meditation. And this is on page 262 of the book called The Way to Live. Let me read a little section here for you. That which the human being really possesses is that which is in the moment, that of the present, the here and now, which lasts less than a nanosecond and only a tiny moment. Billy has another book, which I haven't gotten. I think there is a translation into English. It's called Meditation from Clear Visibility. There are 77 points about learning to trust one's own potential, about getting rid of fears and living with oneself in peace and enjoying life in abundance. Number 6 in the 77 points is everything is achievable for me, and I master whatever I wish to accomplish. Everything is achievable for me, and I master whatever I wish to accomplish. These are like little mantras that you can say to get your thinking back together. You know, we get in these situations in life where there's a lot of pressure and a lot of stress on us for various reasons. These are lifesavers. Number 73 is, I always remain relaxed and thereby gain power over myself. I always remain relaxed and thereby gain power over myself. That seems like there might be something that I've gotten wrong about that. So I'll have to go look up my notes again on that. And I think maybe that is what it says. I don't know. Anyway, so we've really only got the nanosecond of the present. A nanosecond is about a billionth of a second. I can't even really imagine a unit of time so small. And one of the things we have to learn is that nothing is constant. Just as the neuron in the human brain will decay, all the cells in the entire body will die. Nothing is constant. Just as it is with the cloud formations in the sky, which continually change and never create the same picture of the exact same formation. The neuron is the basic working unit of the brain, a specialized cell designed to transmit information to other nerve cells, muscles, or gland cells. This is the neuron. Another analogy that Billy talks about is that human beings are like waves of the ocean. This is on page 260 in the Way to Live book. Human beings are like waves of the ocean. As far as they reach, they are connected with each other through the mass of the water, and as it is with the life of a human being. So just like our lives have a beginning and end, a wave has a beginning and an end, a becoming and passing, a birth and a death. So we always have to live with the idea that nothing is constant, and we should be living in the moment. I want to talk about something called the we form. It's something I've really been contemplating the past couple of weeks. Nature seems to have what you could call a we form. We see the birds fly in a flock and they turn on a dime and move in unison in a split second, change directions. The same with the fish. That's because they're connected subconsciously. I mean, this happens faster than you could say, turn left. You know, I mean, it just occurs like they're all the same living creature. So we have a we subconscious level. Billy talked to Semyase about that, in that it concerns our subconscious connection to the we form of the earth human beings. Now, there's some strange things enter the we form. So all of us human beings on the earth are forming this we form. There can be some false information in the we form, but it's good to know that we are forming that. And I think it's important because I think good thoughts can get into the we form as well. So if there are people out there that are going to listen to this archive, you can affect all of humanity through the we form just by your own thinking, by thinking good thoughts, by understanding that you should be thinking neutral, positive thoughts. Remember, good thoughts lead to good feelings. Good feelings, the feelings grow from the thoughts. Then you'll start to form good habits in your life. Good habits will then roll over to good circumstances. So you really produce the circumstances of your life through your thinking. Your thinking is incredibly powerful. Much of the power of your thinking is located in the subconscious and the unconscious mind. This is a good thing and a bad thing. It's really bad if you let your thoughts drift, because then your unconscious and your subconscious is going to take over. And you can unknowingly, through the power of your own thoughts, create terrible things that will take place in your life through your unconscious thoughts. You know, we have unconscious thoughts as well as subconscious thoughts. And the we form is related to what they call occult practices. And it says in the Meyer Information, it is possible and frequently the case that peoples create entities within themselves through their unconscious occult forces that communicate with them, speaking in the voices of people who have passed away for years or millennia ago, without the creators of these inner entities themselves ever having known the dead persons. The reason that these voices can come into existence is simply on the fact that all humans generate a we form and an unconscious and spiritual bond that deposits its entire knowledge as a unit and individually into what are called the ethereal record files, the Akashic records of the planet, from where impulses of knowledge, in this case a voice, are withdrawn by the originator of the inner entities and allowing those to speak through the inner entity by which he is controlled and misled. This is some very deep and profound stuff. I think a lot of people in the alternative community do stuff like this, and they really don't understand what they're doing, and it can lead to psychological problems, I think. Remember, you should be steering your own thoughts. Nothing else should steer your thoughts but you, and you should have independent thinking. The human being, again, is like the waves of the ocean. And in Contact Report 228, it says, consequently, there are in every we form, either material or spiritual, lower or lowest, respectively, higher or highest evolutionary stages. So the human spirits, for example, I read at the beginning of the show some things about overpopulation from Arahat Athrasada. Arahat Athrasada is said to be a we form. And it's an interesting analogy, again, that the human life is like the waves of the sea. Each one of us is an individual wave. Now, in Contact Report 115, Pata talks about a we form. The Pleiaren believe that it's within the creational natural laws that a man may have as many as four wives. In this case, Pata was married to three women. And this formed what he called a we form partnership. The Meyer information, some of the Meyer information comes from Arahat Athrasada, the other one comes from the Patali level, which is the highest spiritual plane. The Patali level delivered what are called the 12 commandments. I guess Moses left two of them out and changed a few others. Human beings, again, one of the creational natural laws for human beings is learning and striving. And sometimes we have anxiety about learning and striving and fulfilling our evolution. And we also have anxiety about experiencing and living the effect of truth. But to really live means we're learning. Learning means to search for the truth, to find it, to recognize it, and to follow it. But living according to the truth means letting go of all anxiety. And it means to learn so that the understanding of the becoming and passing arises and the truth of the death is recognized as passing from one level of existence and into another. So we can live without really living. To really live means we are learning. To live according to the truth means to let go of all anxiety. And anxiety is subtle. You may think you're free from all anxiety, but you may not be. Life will teach you that too. If we are living even with a little bit of anxiety, we are not living according to the truth. Sometimes it's good to memorize. I memorize phrases from the Meyer information. These are sometimes the phrases that kind of jump off the page at you. And it's also good to try to analyze these phrases to break them down to come up with a better understanding. There's a relationship between the synapses in our brain and learning. To learn means to gain or to acquire a knowledge or a skill through study, experience, or being taught. But anxiety is the feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Therefore, also the thought and the wish arise that one would not like to lose the next human being, whereby, however, the thought is present that this will indeed be different one day when the death approaches. From that, in turn, the human being learns to understand how close that he or she is in his everyday life to the death, by which he or she, in every second, can be taken out of the life. And once this cognition has taken root in the consciousness, then also the deepest sense of the love is recognized, which clearly shows the human being that the truthful love itself continues to exist beyond the death and for all time, and that every single human being ought to let his or her next one feel his or her sense and real love already during his lifetime, and not only when she or he has died and lies cold and stiff in the grave. We've been speaking about some very profound information from this book called The Way to Live. And it's one of Billy's many books. He's written 40 books over the years. And there's a tremendous amount of information, as you can see in these books. Now, Billy used to get telepathic messages when he was a five-year-old boy living in northern Switzerland. He would get these telepathic messages from an extraterrestrial human named Spock, who eventually told Billy to go out into the forest and wait for him. And then out of the sky came a silvery pear-shaped craft, which landed, and Spock brought Billy up into the ship. They went up into Earth orbit. Billy looked around the spacecraft, and he could see all of these screens where Spock was watching many people in the Earth. Spock started to tell Billy about his previous lifetimes, and that Billy had been Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And in each one of these lifetimes, he taught a very ancient and universal teaching, and that's called the teaching of the spirit. And the teaching of the spirit teaches the human being that we all have within us something called a spirit form. And the spirit form is a tiny fragment of the universal consciousness, the intelligence which created this universe. And this spirit form is our spiritual consciousness. You could think of it as the inner eye. It's the part of you that really never dies. And Sloth started to teach Billy about the law of becoming and passing, in the fact that we live many lives, our spirit form does, and that 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg in the sex act, a spirit form comes out of the ethereal energy band around of our planet, and it goes into the body of the child. It's no really bigger than the head of a pin, and it implants itself in what's called the superior colliculus in the midbrain. That's the area of the brain that deals with sight, particularly saccadic eye movements back and forth. Whenever you focus on something different, you're engaging the superior colliculus. It's also the superior colliculus is involved with the integration of all your senses. The taste, the sight, the hearing, all of these come together in the superior colliculus. The energy of the spirit form goes throughout the whole body of the child and in the human being throughout their whole physical life, and it causes the heart to beat. The spirit form is called the wonder of all wonders. It's basically infinite. Billy's third contact, Semyasi, said, the spirit form is the wonder of all wonders. It's the seat of the infinite. And why did she say that? Well, because the spirit form is really a fragment, a tiny holographic copy of this universal intelligence. And Billy, in his previous lives, had been a very famous teacher, not only on the earth, he had been all of these teachers I just described the past 13,000 years here on the earth, but even before that on other worlds, according to the Meyer information. And Sfoth, this extraterrestrial, was here to help Billy with this mission, which is bringing back the laws of the universe to the people of the earth, to bring back the spiritual teachings, which talk, first of all, about love, effective love, wisdom conditioned love, real love, which is permanent and is radiated by the universal consciousness. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. The incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. Every tiny plant, every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. So love is a creational natural law. Now, the strangeness of this, and if one of the things I think you might eventually agree with is the more profound the learning, there's always a sense of strangeness to it. Now, what do I mean by that? Think about a black hole, for example. One of the strangest things in the universe. Think of a gigantic star burning for billions of years. This is a very, very strange thing in our universe. All the laws of nature, they're very unusual if you study them. Think about the atoms and the strangeness associated with that. Well, there's a strangeness associated with all of this. I'm going to play just for a moment here some nature sounds, and I'll be right back. We'll take a short break. You're listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'll be right back. Well, folks, I'd like to welcome you back. My name is Mark Snyder, and this is Ohio Exopolitics. I've been reading passages from a book called The Way to Live. The title is Die Art zu Leben in the German, written by Edward Albert Meyer. And I've also been reading bits and pieces of the contact reports. And I had just started talking about Billy's first contact with this man named Sfoth. who is a 1,000-year-old extraterrestrial human, part of a race of human beings that originally allowed themselves to be called the Pleiadians, even though they're not from our Pleiades. They're from a star system some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades in a different space-time configuration. Now, that roughly means a different dimension. So the whole idea of a different space-time configuration is strange. Again, I was talking before I had to take a break there about the strangeness of reality. And sometimes it's not always comforting where we, where the truth takes us is sometimes not always comforting. And to know that there are multiple dimensions to me is not comforting, because for imagine the hundreds of billions of light years of space, and then all these light years are duplicated in different dimensions. That means there's a different space-time configuration for our solar system, probably, with a different set of people there. The Meyer information says we live in something called the DERN universe. That's 46 trillion years old. And there's a parallel universe to our universe called the Tao universe. That's also 46 trillion years old. Well, there are something like 10 to the 64th power different universes. So, again, strangeness. Things beyond your wildest imagination. Reality is really, in some ways, beyond our wildest imaginations. So don't worry if you're bored. There's plenty out there to learn. Wrapping your mind around all of it is a challenge. So this young boy, in his previous lifetimes, has been all these great spiritual teachers. But each lifetime, you get a new personality, a new conscious mind, a new subconscious, and a new unconscious. Now, this previous life material is stored in your subconscious and unconscious, generally inaccessible by the people at our level of evolution. It's also stored in what are called the storage banks. The planet has its own storage banks. The solar system has storage banks of information. The universal storage banks are there. There's also called something where the spiritual information is stored in these storage banks. So Billy, accessing information from these storage banks, at a very young age, he had this tremendous epiphany about the nature of the universe. He crawled out of the lower window in his bedroom and looked up at a beautiful starry night and said, "My life is made out of the love of creation." And that he heard this voice in his head say this. Also, words suddenly formed on his lips. He said, "Since ancient times, you've lived among the stars." Billy knew who he was then. He knew what his mission was on the earth. And suddenly, these impulses came. Now, these impulses were from the storage banks, and they penetrated him. And he also knew something about what space and time signify concerning the evolution of human beings and all things. And he said, "I recognize that the light which the stars emitted was a light in the visible spectrum. However, the light of true love remained invisible, creational, and for all great time. And indeed, the beaming stars were there, which stirred in me an unfamiliar longing for the vast distance and faraway worlds." Then words suddenly formed on his lips again. "Since ancient times, you've lived among the stars." So Billy was getting these tremendous impulses from the universal storage banks. And then he had this extraterrestrial contact from this man named Svoth, from this race of beings who were tens of thousands of years more advanced than us. But in any case, folks, I hope you've enjoyed this small little episode, a chance to talk again about the incredible Meyer writings. I only suggest that you read them for yourself. I only do this radio show with the hope of stimulating some thinking, not to tell you what to believe, not to tell you how to live your life, but only to stimulate thought. Because I think if people start thinking, we're one step closer to making things better. And I think that you'll find that this information is very helpful. In any case, thanks for stopping by. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.